Commander Shepard has been recovered. The Lazarus Project will proceed as planned.
I was shocked. Like, I was beyond floored that a game had, like, the developers had thought about this scenario.
Wouldn't it have been interesting if, depending on certain choices or something, Shepard just doesn't emerge?
Hello, and welcome to part two of our discussion with N7 Paragon, or Atharia, about our top three moments in the Mass Effect trilogy. In part one, we discussed our third favourite moment and our second favourite moment, and we found out a little bit about Atharia as well, and Paragon N7. So if you haven't heard part one of the discussion, I highly recommend you check it out before proceeding. Not only do we cover our number one favourite moment in this episode, but we also engage with the community a little bit as well, because this was a live episode. If you would like to check out the whole video episode, you can find that on the Ploppy54 Gaming YouTube channel. Let's get right into the episode.
What you were saying there as well, though, like that moment where where Anderson's looking for Shepard, it's like, it's a little moment, but it's another one of those moments that just shows how much Anderson cares. I wanted more of those moments, but that moment was just like the fact that he showed up to look for Shepard, the look on his face when, you know, one of your companions shakes their heads. It's just, it really gets you, I think. And
it really does.
He's always believed in Shepard. Well, okay, save for a moment in Mass Effect 2.
But you can forgive him, but...
But I feel like that moment was just really important for him as well as Shepard.
Yeah, that's why, like, I have it at number two, because that moment always reminds me of the final moments they have in Mass Effect 3, you know? And, you know, the what ifs of, like, you know, like, what if Shepard did make it back and then had to realize that, oh, like, Anderson didn't, you know? And I'm sure you both have seen, like, the happy mod, the happy ending mod where Shepard's at the wall putting Anderson's name. Like, that to me would have been, like, a solid send-off, you know? Because it would have been that bittersweet moment of like, yeah, it's a war. Not everybody's going to make it out. But I truly wish that there was a scenario somewhere, somehow, where Shepard didn't have to sacrifice themselves at the end there.
If anyone's got their own sort of favorite moments as well, feel free to put them in the chat. My number one, and this is a really weird number one, to be honest, there's actually a story behind it. So my first experience, and I don't know if you knew this, Atharia, but it's kind of a callback actually to our first episode where we talked about our first experiences with Mass Effect.
Okay.
And my first experience was playing Mass Effect 3 first. And
oh, wow.
I literally got the game because my uncle lent me a bunch of Xbox games, and Mass Effect 3 was one of them. And I thought, okay, this kind of looks kind of sci-fi. I'll give it a go. Ended up playing the whole game in one night. And did zero side content. Didn't have any DLC. And I got the worst ending, unsurprisingly. And my favorite moment is the ending in that scenario.
Wow.
It was that moment where everybody died, where I was like, jeez, I didn't realize a game could do this. It was such a shock to me that I just, like, the Star Child thing, I kind of skimmed over a little bit. I kind of felt like this is probably one of those things I would get if I played 1 and 2, which obviously is not the case, but I skimmed over that. But then it was that very end bit with the catalyst or the forgetting the name, but when the Citadel opens up and all of these beams go out and so many people get destroyed in this scenario, where I just couldn't believe it. I was just in shock. And maybe I'm sick for thinking this, but I just was like, wow, this is incredible. And it's the reason why I then played Mass Effect Andromeda, and then I played Mass Effect 1 and 2 eventually. And it's I would say it's probably the reason why I played all of the other games in the first place, because it felt like this is a game of choice and consequence, which some games try to sell you that they are choice and consequence when they're not. But this was a real choice and consequence.
100%. I would love to just quickly touch on something there, because I had a similar moment, but it was in Mass Effect 1. It wasn't that catastrophic where everybody died, but it was really funny for me because I was playing it. Like I mentioned, I played my first playthrough of Mass Effect 1 on stream. And while I was going through, again, I had no experience whatsoever with choice and consequence games at all. So I had obviously chosen my femship, and there was the romance options available to me. There was Kaden and there was Liara. And the whole time, where just randomly they would be like flirting with Shepard and kind of being like, hey, I'm into you. Are you into me back? The entire time, I strung both of them along, because I was like, there's not going to be a consequence for this. Like, legit. I remember I told my stream, like I told chat, I was like, okay, I'm just going to keep like saying that I'm into both, but while also like you have to physically choose the option of like, oh, but I've kind of heard that you're also into like Kaden as well. Like, are you? And I'm just saying, nope. While I'm also going to Kaden and saying the opposite and being like, nope, not into Liara. So I was just straight up, you know, like lying to both of them. And it just, I didn't think there was going to be a consequence. So lo and behold, post Vermeier happens. And Kaden survived, because obviously I was going to choose Kaden, because I was potentially like, might romance him. So it's going to be Kaden. And then they both come up to me and are like, hey, we just heard, you know, you're kind of stringing us both along. And I was shocked. Like, I was beyond floored that a game had, like, the developers had thought about this scenario where you just string both of them along and you just kind of lie to them and stuff like that. That was one of the moments that actually I fell in love with Mass Effect, because I was like, I can't believe that my choices actually had consequences. It was wild. So I love that. Yeah. But yeah, the worst ending, man. I've never seen it. Because I am genuinely a completionist through and through. So it would hurt me to not do the side content. So
I think the hardest part about it is, since they've added DLC and stuff, there is one scene that they've added in that makes it so much harder. It's on the run up to the beam, and it's just heartbreaking to watch.
When you lose your companions?
Oh yeah. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, no, I've seen it.
Oh, okay.
So you brought along like two of your besties and just watched them get absolutely vaporized?
Oh no. That's a scene that they added later on. So I didn't have any DLC when I played it. So I didn't.
Right, you played. Okay.
Yeah, that makes it a whole lot harder to do as well. Because pretty much everyone dies in the original, but it feels so much more personal when like you're watching Liara reach her hand out and then the laser just.
Yeah. No, I would just turn off the game at that point and rethink my life. If I saw Liara doing that, I would be like, nope. Time to restart the whole game.
There was a time actually that I did that by accident.
Oh, really?
I was doing a very specific playthrough where I wanted my Shepard to choose control because it was her only option.
Oh.
So I was being very specific with my war assets. And I was just like, right, I don't want synthesis an option. I just want this Star Child to give me destroyer control. And my Shepard will be like, well, I'm not gonna destroy the synthetics. I have to choose control. But what I didn't realize was those assets are still like too low to not have that scenario where somebody dies.
Oh, and goodness.
Yeah, on the run up to the beam, it was just brutal. It was Liara as well. My character was romancing Liara, and it was Liara.
Greg, I'm a through and through Liara mancer, so that hurts me. Like, oh my goodness. No.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, I love it. I'll go ahead, Tim. You can
say. So yeah, again, trying to narrow down one of my favorite, and that it was a bit of a toss up between the Citadel DLC when everybody is on that top balcony and they just unleash the firepower down, and it is just this that perfect moment of bringing everyone back for a last hurrah, or the actual suicide mission, which it has got to be that has to top it for me. The fact that you've built this entire crew up, you've been through their loyalty missions, and now you have to put them in the right places to maximize the entire mission. And if you make a mistake, you cost somebody their life. And it's such an amazing ending that you're, I mean, compared to like the ending of 3, this is what should have been the ending of the trilogy, where you've spent 3 games building up the crew to do this. And then, so yeah, the ending for 2 to me is just chef's kiss. And now there's a mod on there as well, which means, because once you've done it a couple of times, you know exactly what you need to do and exactly who to put. And so now I play with the mod, which it completely randomizes everything, and depends on who you take with you on missions earlier in the game, raises or lowers their opinion of you, which then feeds into that suicide mission, which makes it even better. So yeah, that to me is like the best moment, I think.
That is great. Yeah. Oh man, that also made me think of in Mass Effect Andromeda, I think that it was a also hello Hollywood guy. I think there was a moment, I don't know if I'm just making this up, where apparently the ending of Mass Effect Andromeda was supposed to be what Take Back Earth was gonna be. Do you guys?
I don't know. I haven't finished it yet.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why I'm thinking that, but I feel like the moment in Mass Effect Andromeda where like in your headset, like you're hearing all the people from like the Hyperion and like the Angaran companions and stuff like that, and that was what apparently Take Back Earth was supposed to be. I'll have to go find that back. I don't know if that's 100% true. But that made me think of that, because I think they had plans for it. I really, really do for Take Back Earth. But just had to make a AAA game in 2 years, man. Like, I just, it's absolutely insane how well a job they actually did.
Sorry. I was just going to say, it is incredible how much the modding community has changed the series as well. Like, it just shows how devoted they are in terms of, especially how much stuff has been added to and improved Mass Effect 3 as well. Yeah. And I'm going through my first experience with a modded Mass Effect, and I haven't gone as far as Mass Effect 3 yet, but I'm very excited by some of the mods that they've produced for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I rarely, if ever, use mods in my games, just because I don't know how to work the mod manager most of the time. I know there's like excellent guides out there and everything, but every time I've tried to like change the files of the game, I always end up breaking it, which just ends up scaring me and stuff. And just, yeah. But I always watch like the like I modded this thing things on YouTube, and they're always so great. Like I wish I could play those types of.
Modern have an easy guide. There you go.
Yeah. Prince got a guide.
Okay. Yeah. But you know what? I'll go look that up, because I also don't see the thing is, I also don't have it on PC. I have it on PlayStation. I haven't been able to, but I am planning on getting the PC version. So maybe I'll try it out and I will look at that guide. Yeah. So with regards to my top moment, I feel so bad because like you guys both chose like really crew heavy moments, you know, like really just incorporating all of the Normandy and stuff like that. But I'm going to go specific on this one with my number one moment. And that's going to be a romance specific moment, which is, of course, a Liara moment. And specifically the one in Mass Effect 2 after the Shadowbroker DLC, where you invite her to the Normandy. And she asks you just this question. And she's like, if everything were to end, tomorrow, I think is how she puts it. Where do you and I stand, type of thing. And there's two options that you can choose. And obviously, I'm fully embroiled in my Paragon playthrough. And so I click the happily ever after. And I'm like, yeah, Shepard's just going to say like the most, you know, yeah, you and me are going to be together and we're going to be out there saving the world type of thing, you know? And it completely and utterly caught me off guard because Shepard obviously says, it's just going to be you and me and a couple of little blue children running around. And I was like, it literally broke my heart. it broke my heart and then it put my heart back together just in the million pieces that it had shattered, because it was truly one of the most like romantic lines I'd ever heard in like a game. Cause I was like, they went there. Like, again, the developers and the writers just thought up this line that Shepard would say to this character that is capable of having children with you, you know? And in the back of my mind, I was like, yes, I'm playing a FemShep playthrough, but I know that Bro Shep would have said the exact same thing. You know, like, it's just, it was a moment where I fell in love with the world again. I fell in love with the characters again. And just, yeah, like seeing like Liara and Shepard like interact after that. And then obviously it continues into 3. If you continue to romance Liara, where the last thing she says in that conversation, you know, before like that final mind meld thingy, is like, she says a line like, all the little blue children are going to be disappointed because I don't have a speech prepared or something. And it just shattered my heart once again. And in the back of my mind, I was like, oh, I'm dead. So, you know, I'm just going to numb myself because I know that Liara is going to be alone. So yeah, I think my number one moment would definitely be the little blue children line, because it's also the line that kind of haunts me. You know, it's the one where I'm like, what could have been? But it's also, you know, I guess with a lot of my current theorizing and stuff, and I'm just so convinced that Shepard is going to come back. It's that hope, you know, it's that, could Shepard and Liara have their happily ever after with their little blue children, you know? So yeah, that's my number one. It's, you know, if Shepard doesn't come back, I feel like that might change my number one moment. Because then it'll be like, oh, the hope's dead. But as of right now, I do think that's number one for me.
Just got a $5 super chat from Hollywood Guy. Thank you very much. Does anyone think the Lost Quarian Arc DLC for Andromeda would have made the game more interesting? Andromeda needed much more.
Yeah, I have thoughts on that. But if you guys want to go ahead.
No, you take the lead.
I have so many sad thoughts about Andromeda a lot. So yeah, Hollywood Guy, I do think that the Quarian Arc DLC would have definitely made the game more interesting. And I think I briefly went into my thoughts on Andromeda on this stream, and I feel like rant about it during my own channel streams. But it's an interesting game because when I first played it, I heavily disliked it. But I also was playing it extremely angrily because I missed the trilogy characters. I had absolutely no closure with my Shepard dying, and just a completely me thing. I don't really like the exploration style of Andromeda, as well as, you know, like a younger protagonist and stuff like that. Like, I preferred the more mature storylines of the trilogy. So I do think that the Lost Quarian Arc DLC could have been an opportunity to kind of like add a little bit more of the almost trilogy-esque-ness added back into it, because like Andromeda, the entire plot line centered around like the Ket and, you know, like a first contact style thing. I feel like if the Lost Quarian Arc was kind of included, it would have really added that trilogy, you know, the original purpose why we left in the first place, you know, and going back to the Andromeda Initiative and what I kind of wanted the game to be, like to focus on the why did we leave and to get into the why of like why each individual chose to vamp their way over to another galaxy. Because if you read the books, there is a book entirely dedicated to the Quarian Arc DLC. Mass Effect Annihilation, which I highly recommend, by the way. I am blanking on the author's name. I think it's Cassandra something. She did an amazing job. It covers the Quarian arc, and I'm not going to spoil it, but it covers probably aspects of what was going to be in the DLC. And it is absolutely fascinating. There is a whole bunch of like societal and like race struggles happening there. Like everybody always says like they don't like the Batarians and stuff like that. Like that's covered in the book. Like there are Batarian prejudices covered in the book. Just a whole bunch of like almost racial stereotypes covered of like, you know, the Quarians being called like suit rats and stuff like that. Things that the trilogy didn't really cover. It's not just the Quarians on that arc, right? Like it would have included the Hanar, it would have included the Drell. So I feel like including all of those races into Andromeda would have brought more of the trilogy's like prejudices into the storyline of Andromeda, which is personally what I liked. I liked having that kind of aspect to it, as opposed to just being like the Asari, the Quarians, Salarians, Turians. So I think that it 100% would have elevated the game. And I hope, fingers crossed, that it will be included somehow, some way in the next Mass Effect.
I know when you were saying about the Batarian prejudice, I knew exactly what you were talking about. Yeah. I'm so infamous for starting books and not finishing them, which is really annoying because it was like, I loved that, but yep. I really want to finish the book for that reason.
Have to. That one's a really, really good one. Like legit. If I had to like hype you up for it, it is one of the more shocking twists to like a sci-fi book that I have read. I didn't see it coming. Like I had inklings, but I didn't see it coming. And yeah, it's worth it. Mm. It is worth it.
Just see the Batarians in a whole new light.
Oh yeah, no, 100%. And the Drell, like all of them. I'm just seeing this one message. Thanks a lot, Paragon, for making me want to replay the trilogy for the 11th build in time. Yes, do it. Do it, Bronwyn. I support this decision. I'm Atharia, and I support you playing the trilogy for the 11th building in time.
Shall we go through, because there were a few messages earlier of people saying their favorite moments.
Sure.
Shall we have a look at some of those? 100%. Sorry to go back to Bronwyn. The end of Bronwyn, favorite number one, the end of Thessia mission, where Reaper lands and Asari screams that they're going to die. Chills. Number two, telling Eve on the shuttle that Shep was blackmailed about curing the genophage. Number three, curing the genophage.
Interesting. Two and three both being genophage ones.
Don't cure it. You doom the galaxy if you cure it.
Don't listen to Tim. Don't listen to Tim. He thinks that the Geth are vacuum cleaners. Don't listen to Tim.
Vacuum cleaner can have your house, Tim.
I do not want to live in my car.
My name is Scott Ryder, Tom Taylorson, calling in for the Andromeda Galaxy, and you are listening to the Lazarus Project podcast.
Oh, I love it. No, but yeah, Brahman. No, the number one, Thessia mission where Reaper lands. I remember once again them being like, just being like, oh, the devs are gonna go there. Okay, the Asari are gonna, sorry, you're gonna die. Like that was intense. And I just remember thinking, because I wrote romance, Liara. I was just thinking like, oh no, that conversation on the ship is gonna be, that's gonna be intense. And it 100% delivered. I loved that.
I do love the way that she has absolutely no morals at all. Like you were saying earlier, when you string both of them along.
Yeah. No, yeah, like, Caden sorry, do, like, do you mean Liara? You know
I'm not interested. She's like, oh, yeah, I am.
No, yeah, but by the end, see, after that moment, I was like, oh, okay, I think I actually have to apply, like, a shepherd is going to, like, I'm going to role play as shepherd as opposed to applying my logic, because, like, my moral system was completely shot.
But yeah, the cure in the genophage one is kind of an underrated one. Like it is a, like just when you see that sort of that snowfall and like everyone's, all of these Krogan reacting to it as well. It's like, it feels very different, I feel, as well, depending on whether you cure the genophage or didn't. Like, you feel like seeing their happiness if you know you've sabotaged it. I mean,
well, let's ask Tim, right? Is that what happens? I've never seen this before. Do they just look happy and you know that they're that you screwed them over?
Yeah. It's only if you've got Rex alive that they find out. If Rex is not alive, then yeah, they have no clue.
Did you feel guilty, Tim? Did you feel a little bit guilty?
No, because all it takes is someone like Reeve to then bump off Rex, and then you've got like 1,000 Krogan being born every year, and you've got a whole new I can't remember what the war was called now.
The Krogan Rebellions?
Yeah, the Krogan Rebellions. Yes. And even in the Citadel DLC, Rex will say to Shepard, it's like, what are you doing here? So I'm just butting heads about expansion, spaces.
If you're worried about that,
which is what started the Krogan Rebellions in the first place.
If you're worried about that, just choose control. And then you've got Shepard Reapers that can...
Yeah, you just blast them, right? You're the genophage, and then blast them out of Tuchanka. Just saying that hurts me, but...
But yeah, even Garrus says to Shepard, like, yeah, you better watch his food. you're going to start another war. I mean, to be fair, I don't know how they're going to solve this in Mass Effect 5. I have absolutely no idea how they're going to incorporate all your choices.
I mean, I have a video coming out, I think, hilariously, on April 1st, which is obviously April Fool's Day, which I didn't think that one through. But I do go into how they could potentially solve it. Not that particular problem, not the Krogan problem, but the, you know, or I guess I already have a video on the genophage stuff, but I go into how they could solve the Mass Effect 3 endings, which was very fun. I really enjoyed coming up with that one.
Look forward to it. Christopher says, when the Reaper shoots the shuttle down, then that massive Reaper lands. The music was perfect and the scene was heartbreaking. I think he's talking about the Earth leaving Earth.
Yeah, leaving Earth.
And seeing the shuttles flying away. I mean, as much as the child gets a lot of flack and a lot of confusion, I do think there's something there about seeing the child go into the shuttle and then see the shuttle get shot down. There is something quite powerful about that.
Oh, yeah.
But it just bothers me that there's only one child in the whole galaxy.
True. I don't know if you guys saw the thing where, like, you know, the final like Stargazer scene where there's like a child there.
Yeah.
If you zoom in on it, it's just a shrunk down version of the guy standing next to him. So the child isn't even like a child model. They didn't bother modeling it. They just shrunk down the Stargazer.
Oh my God.
Next time you're looking at it, go find a picture. You'll see it's just the same guy shrunken down. Fun fact. Yeah, Christopher, that's a great one. I can't include that in my top three because, like, it is a distinct moment for me where I knew that my Shepard was going to die. Because I was like, there is no way they're going to play that. And then right after that, you enter like a dream sequence, and I'm like, oh yeah, like, we're dead. We are dead.
It just sets the tone as well, doesn't it?
It does.
It prepares you for what you're about to go through. It feels like the first game doesn't feel as intense, and then the second game, Normandy explodes.
Yeah.
And then third game, you're watching children blow up.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like when you're slowly raising the stakes, and it's like, oh, okay, we're gonna have this automatic cutscene where a child dies. All right, I know what to expect here.
Yeah.
Was the child real though? That's another question, really.
Oh man, yeah. In the Tim grand scheme of, you know. Is the child real? Do the Geth vacuum cleaners shooting Morden in the back? I question the Tim philosophy.
I'm not on my own. Hollywood guys is here. Look. Anyway, look. Morden had to perish because of the genophage. It saddens me.
Hollywood guy subscribes to the Tim philosophy. I disagree.
Oh, I subscribe to Tim is indoctrinated.
Oh yes, no, 100%. I agree with Craig. Yeah, Tim is indoctrinated. Believes in the indoctrination theory, so clearly indoctrinated.
We've got another one from Hollywood Guy here. Top three: meeting Garrus in Mass Effect 2. I did quite like that, to be fair. I did quite like that.
100%. I remember feeling like nothing, like complete neutrality towards Garrus in Mass Effect 1 the first time I played it. And then when he rocked up the second time, it felt like I was meeting my bestie again. Like the way that they presented that, I felt absolutely nothing toward him, you know? Like, I was like, oh my goodness, in Mass Effect 1, I was like, why are you rambling on about this random Salarian doctor that called Dr. Hart that, you know, did something really bad, you know? Like, I was so disinterested in his quest to be like, you know, that one really, really good cop that just is going to do all the right things, you know? Mm-hmm. So then when he comes back as like a badass, just like, you know what? Whatever the police force is on the Citadel wasn't, like, I didn't like what they were doing. I'm going to go do it myself on, like, the worst place possible in Omega. I loved him. Loved him.
It's like all of a sudden he becomes like a man of action. Like,
yeah.
You could even say he was inspired by Shepard to just go out there and make your own justice, you know?
Exactly. Well, I remember distinctly, like, in the lead up to the Archangel reveal, I remember just hearing, like, okay, it's a Turian, you know, like when you're talking to everybody and you're just trying to be like, who is he? Like, who is this guy? And then you figure out he's a Turian. I didn't for one second think it was Garrus at all. I was like, nope, this isn't Garrus. I remember thinking, I was like, oh yeah, this Turian dude is going to be like insta joining my squad of two. Cause he just sounds so cool. So then when the slow pan up to Garrus happened, and at that point, like, I was so new to the series, I couldn't really tell between like Turian faces. And I couldn't tell, like, the markings and stuff like that. So when he started talking, like, it was his voice. And then I was like, oh, man, that's Garrus. I was so, like, beyond over the moon. So good.
Such a good moment.
I think I missed the other one. I think there was another moment there from the chatter that I didn't catch. Whether you chose Kaden or Ashley in the struggle between Liara and Javik. Yes. No, yeah. 100% struggle between Liara and Javik. Loved the resolution. And Vermeier, man, Vermeier is iconic.
Absolutely. It is iconic. A shame that they didn't put an option in there where you could say both, I think. Because you start with Kaden and Ashley, and I would have loved to finish Mass Effect 3 with Kaden and Ashley on that final run to the beam.
Oh, but they're your first two, right? Yeah. They're your first two, and they make you choose.
But there is a version out there, like, I mean, you can look it up. Like, there is a version where they're both alive. So okay. Clearly, yeah, there is a conversation on the ship where they're both alive.
Yeah, but, it was cut, wasn't it?
Yeah. But I
did just, all the voice recording for it.
Yeah, but I just feel like they must have intentionally kept that out to kind of give you that feeling of you can't always save everyone.
Yeah.
And I do think that's an important lesson to learn in preparing you for, you know, the deaths later on in the series as well.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah, 100%. Again, it was one of those moments where, like, I had never played a lot of choice-based things, but it felt like Craig had said, they went there. The developers decided to go there. Like, yes, you have to choose between these two companions that you first started off with. You know, and I remember hilariously, like, again, like, I had streamed this, so the whole time I was just bashing Ashley. I was like, Ashley, like, especially, yeah, I'm sure you guys absolutely know this one, but the line where you bring her to the Citadel and she's like, I can't tell between the animals and the aliens. And I was just so ready to shoot her in the back. Like, so, like, I was just saying the whole time to chat, I was like, can I just throw Ashley out the airlock? Like, why is she a part of my squad? So, and my chat was just laughing because they had all played Mass Effect before. So they were like, oh, just you wait. So I get to Vermeier and I'm like, oh, look, it's Kaden or Ashley. I wonder which one I'm going to choose. So 100%. I never chosen something faster in my life, to be honest.
I bet Javik would have done the exact same thing.
Oh, dude. No, Javik would have just shot them both. I feel like he would have been like, why are we making this just really dumb decision? Let's just bomb the planet and kill them both. Like, he would have done something very renegade-y.
Yeah.
Melvin here. My top three, Oliver Vermeer, yes, 100%. Collector base. Priority Tuchanka, Kira Genovese. Yes. Sila, yeah, J. Melvin is on our side, Tim. I feel like if we had to run a poll, the Tim's philosophy would lose. Okay,
we need to have you back for a debate. We need to have you back for a debating episode where we just get chat involved and like we'll count the votes or something.
100%. No, I would be so here. We should do every single decision ever in the games, and Tim would always be just in the minority that it just would break my heart if I chose it.
Absolutely. Except from Caden or Ashley. Because I actually choose Ashley the vast majority of the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? Why though?
I just find her so much more interesting.
Ah.
Like, I feel Caden is just... I feel a little bit bad for him accidentally killing a Taurian, who this Taurian was very racist towards humans. So I'm just kind of like, yeah.
Right.
But, and also, yes, Ashley is very spacist, but I find it interesting finding out why she is.
No, and 100%.
And I find it interesting going with her on this journey where she spends time with the crewmates and changes and develops over the course of those games.
Definitely.
And that character growth is just missing from Caden, I feel. Caden's just kind of, I'm going to make you some Canadian food in the Citadel and be really mean to Shepard.
You know, you say that.
Really mean to Caden, I mean.
Yeah, no. So you say that. Obviously, I mean, one of the only reasons, Ashley being a spacist is definitely the primary reason. But the other reason that I chose Caden is because, I don't know if you could tell, right over here, I got my little Canadian flag.
Uh-huh.
I'm from Canada. And so as soon as I heard that there was a Canadian just character, you know, from a Canadian studio and stuff like that, I was like, there is no way I am killing this man. I don't care that he doesn't have much personality. He is sticking around. And when I heard the Citadel DLC moment where he was like, yeah, the Canadian delicacies of like bacon and beer, like the foods of my people, I was just like, that was why I saved Caden. That moment right there was why I saved Caden. I just, it's one of those few things where usually Canada's like the butt of the joke in a lot of like, you know, the US based games and stuff like that, or companies making up their lines. So to have a Canadian company actually just genuinely input random Canadianisms, it was a joy. It truly was. That's why I love Caden.
Have you played Knights of the Old Republic?
No, I haven't. I haven't, and I really do want to. Yeah. Just all of the, I'm currently going through Dragon Age Origins. And again, there's a whole bunch of just little Canadianisms, even in the way people are pronouncing things. And I love it.
Raphael Saberge, Caden's voice actors in Knights of the Old Republic.
Oh, lovely.
And he's so whiny.
Oh.
That game.
Yeah.
So whenever I hear him in Mass Effect, I'm like, oh, I'm just getting... I'm getting vibes.
It's
to him,
this guy. I love it. I love the way that Raphael Saberge played Caden. I just, yeah. And again, I almost romanced him. I was this close, but I had to go with Liara. So. Oh, is that a Knights reference?
Yeah.
I think there was another one, wasn't there? How are you doing for time? I know we've been on for like an hour and a half. I don't want to.
I think I'm good for time. Let me just check my. See if my roommates are saying that our pup is struggling. Nope, I think I'm all good. I think that our new pup like went down for a nap, so I think I'm okay. I'll probably be good for another like maybe 30 minutes, and then I'll have
cool.
to
yep.
for food.
I don't know where this one that you were talking about is, Tim. Was it Bronwyn's Addendum?
That's the one, yeah.
Okay.
Lost it. There it is.
My fourth favorite, which made me scum safe afterwards, was confronting Rex on the Citadel after sabotaging the cure and having to shoot him. I was literally shaking afterwards. They really make you regret that, don't they?
I don't know, Tim. How did you feel about it?
Quite good.
So wait, fair, did you?
The very first time I ever played, I ended up shooting Rex anyway.
That's what I was going to ask. I was like, I already knew. I already knew you would have shot Rex because...
Yeah, all the way back in Mass Effect 1, I'd already shot him.
Tim, what? Breaking my heart, man.
He went against my authority.
Oh, man. All right. Also, I just have to say, Bronwyn, your profile picture is absolutely slapping with lightning from Final Fantasy 13. I appreciate that. That was my first Final Fantasy, and I love lightning. Thank you for that profile picture, I guess.
£5 super chat from, $5 super chat from Hollywood Guy. Thank you very much. Your best romance arc. Mine would be Femship with Dame. That hurt me. And as for Maleship, I went with Ashley.
Okay. I'd love to hear from you guys because I feel like I've talked about my Liara one.
So if I go Femship, I did actually, I do tend to go with Caden. I think I've only dated like Garrus once, which once I'd found out that he gets with Tali, I'm like, I can't do that again. Caden, I've dated, and Liara, I quite like Liara's romance arc. If I'm playing as a male ship, then it's mostly Ashley, or Ashley, then Miranda, and then back to Ashley. I don't tend to date many of the Mass Effect 2 characters because I don't think you get a satisfying Mass Effect 3 ending with them. Like Craig said earlier, you just get a goodbye over a hollow thing. So, yeah, I tend to stick to Caden, Ashley, or Liara, really.
Oh, geez.
But you?
Sorry, me or Craig?
Either.
Well, yeah, for me, I mean, I think I have my, do I have it over here? Yeah, right over here. I don't know if you guys can see if you zoom in, but I have the Femship and Liara, just iconic picture that Jen Hale and Ali Hillis signed. So yeah, 100% definitely a Liara Mancer. And I remember finding out after the fact that Ali Hillis, on all of her romance read-throughs, like whenever she was reading her lines, she specifically always had Femship voiceover in her headphones. Like she would ask, like, can I hear Jen Hale? Which just made it, just sold the ship even more for me, because I was like, oh my goodness, like Jen Hale and Ali Hillis are such close friends in real life. And they also get to, like, you know, like pretend to just romance each other in the series. So that really also sold the ship for me. But I love their arc. Obviously, top one moment is easily Little Blue Children, and I hope that they get to have that.
For me, it's different, as you say, Tim, depending on if it's male ship or female ship. sorry, my voice is seriously going. For male ship, it would be Tali, just because as I said, I experienced that romance before I saw Garrus and Tali get together, but she is just so sweet in that kind of I have a crush on you, Shepard, kind of thing that goes on in the second game. It's just so sweet, and it's just like there's something almost poetic about that whole I can't see your face, but I care about you just because of who you are. And I love that arc so much, and how Shepard influences Tali in that way, and she ends up becoming a leader in her own right as well. And with female Shep, just recently, I've actually really loved the Caden romance for a very weird reason. So I've been doing my first proper renegade go, and it surprised me that you can make Caden racist.
Really?
Yeah, in the Mass Effect 1 playthrough, he does bash at you a little bit when you make some comments. But then after a while, he starts to see your point of view, which just kind of disturbed me a little bit.
Whoa.
Because during when you're about to have a romance scene with him at the end of Mass Effect 1, he basically says, I hate the council. The aliens shouldn't dictate how everything goes. Let's have sex.
No way. What?
Yeah. And then that's just really weird and random, really. There was a bug as well on my playthrough where they were just standing way too close to each other while they were having this conversation.
They're just getting prepared. They were getting ready for it.
Yeah. It's just so interesting. Like, I didn't realize that, you know, Caden could be influenced by Shepard.
Yeah. I always thought that both Caden and Ashley were so, like, independent because of the moment in Mass Effect 2 where they call you out, you know, like, regardless of what you did. So I always viewed them as so, like, independent. But, Ashley hasn't yet survived a playthrough of mine yet, but I'll have to give that a try. But I will keep in mind, Renegade Caden romance. That's wild.
Yeah, I don't know how, if it carries over to 2, probably not. But, you know, we'll see. You know, Garrus, they kind of did a flip-flop with his arc.
Right.
So, you know, we'll have to see.
That's crazy, dude.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Oh, what can I say, hey, Melvin?
No, man. Yeah, I just, Tim's playthroughs hurt my soul. Hurt the Geth souls, too.
I knew that was the reason.
Liara the car chase. I did like that. That was funny.
Oh, yes. Yes. 100%.
Tim, we have an audio version. You have to read it out.
Oh, sorry. Curtis's top three is one, the Liara's car chasing, especially when Shepard's like, well, what guns have this got? None, it's a taxi.
It's a taxi.
Two, Rex and Javik meeting for the first time. I can't remember that one. What happened with that one?
I'm trying to remember.
I think it's on the Solarian world where you go to meet Morden again. And they have that.
I have never brought Javik there. But because of Curtis, I will definitely check that out.
Sakesh.
That's the part where Rex was trying. Sakesh,
yes.
To say no to people wanting to join the party.
Love that. Oh, man, no, yeah. I just wanted to touch on the Shepard and Liara car chase. So also, fun fact, I guess I didn't say this during the romance part, but I actually, when I chose Caden, I chose Liara. Sorry, Liara. when I chose Liara over Caden in my first playthrough, I actually didn't like the ship very much, like at all. Because it basically felt very much like, you know, every time Liara mind melded, she'd be like, oh my goodness, I'm so tired, I'm about to faint. And then Shepard has to go back over to her room and be like, are you okay? You know, it just felt very like, you know, damsel in distressy, which really confused me because I was like, okay, youngest like Asari archaeologist that like knows a lot of stuff, like, She just didn't give off a very damsel-y vibe. And I mean, I guess I've obviously a female gamer that plays a ton of games from usually male protagonist perspectives. So I was like, why is this happening? Why is this happening with this awesomely cool female character? So I really, really, really enjoyed the Shadow Broker DLC where Liara totally just got a dark arc and was like, you know what? I'm going to just kill everybody now. You know, I'm not an archaeologist anymore. I'm just going to start killing everybody that has wronged me and those that have been, you know, my companions. And it's the Shadow Broker DLC that sold me on the Shepard Liara ship and the Little Blue Children line, which is why it means so much to me because I wasn't sold on the ship. Like at that point, I was like, all right, let's click happily ever after. Let's see what's going to happen here. And that was when I was like, I'm all in on the ship. And this is like the best romance thing I've ever seen.
That does make me surprised, actually, to be honest. Oh, yeah? that you wound up choosing Liara over Caden then.
Yeah. It was a very, very interesting choice. So the way that I usually choose like my ships, I guess, because I don't usually play games where like I get a choice, but if I'm like shipping things in like shows or movies or whatever, I usually try to like pair together the people that are either have like the best moments or are usually very integral to the story, like the main story. And obviously both Kaden and Liara were so important to the story. Like Kaden is your first companion. He's with you on Eden Prime. So I was like, okay, there's a bit of chemistry there. Like there's like, I can see where that could go in terms of meaning. And then Liara rocks up and, you know, first thing you see is she's trapped in a bubble. So I'm like, oh, she's the damsel in distress. This isn't going to go anywhere. But then I slowly got to like talking to her and stuff. And I was like, oh, like there's a lot of depth to her. And then the Novaria mission happened where, you know, also I'm seeing the Christopher Hall. She starts as a shy cheerleader, becomes a ruthless killer, and then balances out. Exactly. She is a cheerleading ruthless killer. Like I love it. It's the strangest. It is probably the absolute strangest female female written character that I have ever seen, which is why she's easily in like my top three favorite characters ever of any game I've played. Because yeah, like she's so qualified. And then I figure out that she can actually join my squad as like, you know, a biotic person. And I loved how like, if you play it on harder difficulties, like on insanity or something, she's really, really dumb in battle. Like she will walk out and decide to just die immediately. So they even programmed her to be like less of a good fighter than other people. Like obviously her HP is lower and stuff like that. But I just loved how they like crafted her character to just be like this really, really smart archaeologist that sucks at battle, but is still trying to do the right thing. Has an absolutely like horrible traumatic moment with her mother, which clearly affects her, you know, in two. And just her arc. Like her arc of just becoming the Shadow Broker and where she eventually ends up in three, like three, Liara in three is just perfect. And I loved what they did with her character, which is why I'm super excited that Liara is one of the few confirmed characters in the next Mass Effect. Who knows where it's going to go next?
Hello guy, $5 super chat. Thank you very much. This is for everyone. What was the first instant that made you love Mass Effect? I think for me, it's when you can choose how to play good or evil.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of already went over mine, so I'll go over it really quickly. I was just, randomly driving in the Mako. Randomly driving in the Mako. I don't even remember which planet. I had streamed my first playthrough. So a lot of the intense choices that I had to make was like chat was there, you know? I remember more vividly the moments where I was just kind of playing it by myself. And a lot of that was just in the Mako, just farming like the, you know, like Matriarch Dalinga's random writings and stuff like that. Like it was those little moments where it just made the world feel more alive. Like you pick up a random Turian insignia from somebody that died there, you know, because it made the world feel real. And it was just such a sci-fi moment, you know, you're just roaming around on a random planet in the galaxy. It felt awesome.
It wasn't the suspicious cow then. So it's suspicious cow. Yeah.
I only figured out about the suspicious cow in my third playthrough. And I had so much, I almost said Gil because I am playing Final Fantasy Rebirth and Final Fantasy 14. So I almost called the money Gil. But I had so much GP, I think it's called.
Credits.
Credits. Yes. Thank you. Oh my goodness. I have all the games that I'm playing right now blurring together. I had like almost like maxed credits and I legit just wanted to sit there in front of the suspicious cow and let it take everything from me because I thought it was the funniest mechanic. Like it's just so fun.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Should have been a top three moment.
Well, yeah, I think we kind of all covered this question actually. I mean, for me it was the moment where I killed everyone.
Crazy.
Yeah. What about you, Tim?
I think it probably walking around the Normandy when you realize that this is now your ship and you've got all these crew and it's one of the things where I'm really finding it hard to connect with Andromeda's Tempest because the Normandy, it's packed full of people doing their job. And no matter which game you play, there's, you know, even if you're on the Cerberus ship, it's full of Cerberus crew. And so, yeah, it feels like a proper working ship. And you can, you know, although you've got one pilot, that it's Joker and stuff, but it, and the Joker's relationship with Edie that evolves from 2 to 3, that first moment, like, when you get it in Mass Effect 1 and like, right, you can go where you want and this is your ship. And yeah.
I was going to say, like, it's the realness, right? Like, the Normandy feels completely real because of the other NPCs that you just randomly overhear, you know, which is why, like, for me, it was just the moment where I was just chilling in the Mako. Because it felt real. It felt possible, you know? So, yeah, I 100% get that with the Tempest. You know, it's so, like, it's just a small group. But for some reason, having that, like, a little bit more just random people. And then in 3, seeing the Normandy crew's names on that board. Like, you didn't know. Like, you can't recognize any of those names of the people that went down except for Presley, right? But it still hits you. You're like, that was my crew. Hmm. So, yeah, I feel that, definitely.
Well, I think we're start wrapping this up, unless you've got anything else to add, Craig.
No, I don't think so. Just I would like to highlight that please do get through Dragon Age as fast as you can, Atharia, because I would just find it so incredibly funny if you finished Trespasser before Tim did. So,
oh, are you still not finished?
No, I've not done the DLC. So.
Oh, okay.
But I can't just go and jump into the DLC now. I have to play from the start.
Oh yeah, no. So. Tim, I think we finally find something we could agree on. 100%. Not the Geth vacuum cleaners, but 100% have to start from game one of the series.
Yes.
Is Trespasser in Origins, or I'm not familiar?
Inquisition.
With Inquisition. Okay.
Yeah, the third one.
I'll see whether I can jump forward 2 games and finish the DLC.
How far into Origins are you?
So last I left off, like, I just finished the Brazilian forest. So I just met, like, the lady of the forest, I think her name is. As well as, like, the werewolves, that arc. Yeah. And then Final Fantasy VII Rebirth came out, and I had to stop everything and just finish that. And I did, and I'm very glad I did that. But I am going to hop into Origins. So. Yeah, I think I periodically update, like, a random thread on Twitter. So if you're interested, you can check out my exploits. And I am having multiple mental breakdowns over everything. Like, I thought I was having mental breakdowns in Mass Effect. Dragon Age is way worse.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot more choice and consequence in Dragon Age.
There are, like, some crazy consequences.
I genuinely shocked, you know, because this is, like, basically the second ever choice and consequence series I'm playing through. And I'm like, oh, great. This one's even worse. I'm just getting traumatized by all of the choice and consequence games. Not going to have anything left by the time Dreadwolf comes out.
So, yeah, I mean, we're running up to time. Is there anything that you would, anything you'd like to promote? Anything you've got going on at the minute that you're wanting people to know about?
I guess just my upcoming 2 videos, obviously, with a new puppy that I got yesterday. I don't know if I'll be able to edit them very fast, but I am planning on releasing a video on my channel that solves the Mass Effect 3 endings. It is completely just randomly, more like a skit-like style thing, but, you know, it could happen. So that one's dropping on April Fool's Day. And then the one I'm really, really, really looking forward to is the one on April 8th, which is my second ever trailer breakdown of the trailer where Liara is picking up the N7 insignia and wiping off the snow off of it. That's dropping on April 8th. And yeah, like I mentioned at the top, I do believe that trailer does confirm Shepard's 100% returning. And I'm excited to see your guys' reactions to it. Definitely let me know either in like DMs or comments what you guys think, because I'd love to hear your guys' opinions on it.
I'm looking forward to that.
And yeah. I think the most recent thing that's going to happen is I'm going to do a live stream sometime on my channel next week. I don't exactly have it down yet, again, because new pup and everything. So I have to wait for my roommates to be here so that somebody can watch him. So that is up for a random day next week. That's everything.
Fabulous. And where can people find you?
Yes. So you can find me on my YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/paragon7, where 7 is written out. So S-E-V-E-N, as well as Paragon, the usual spelling. And on Twitter, I am @Atharia_. So that's @ATHARIA_. Where, yeah, I just randomly post about Mass Effect mainly and my Dragon Age Origins playthrough, I guess, which again is definitely causing multiple mental breakdowns. So if you're interested in that, look up, follow.
Fabulous. Craig, have you got anything else that you want to
just thank you for joining us? It's been a really great discussion.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely, guys. Like, 100% enjoyed the first one and this one. Definitely got a lot more to think about. I might do a Caden Renegade romance playthrough. Not sure if I'll do any of Tim's decisions, you know, shooting more in the back, but I don't know. Maybe I'll check it out. But thank you guys so much for having me. It was genuinely a pleasure, and I'd love to be back for any type of debate, discussion, or anything.
Excellent. Thank you very much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Well, I guess that brings an end to that discussion. That was certainly interesting.
It was brilliant, wasn't it?
Yeah, I will be honest. I do think it was quite like unexpected as well. Like, there were little bits here and there, like, because I found this as well, like with the indoctrination theory episode, for example. Like, when we've had conversations with Paragon 7, she seems to come out with these really like obscure theories that I've just never heard before. Like, when she was talking about her theory about Shepard being the catalyst, I just thought that was brilliant. I was just like,
it's nice that she thinks outside the box, isn't it? Because you get so bogged down with the same kind of theories kind of getting regurgitated. So yeah, it's she's a definitely a breath of fresh air in the community, that's for sure.
Yeah, and she's I'm really excited to see some of the other content she's got coming up as well. Like, you know, she teased about, I believe she gave a tease about how she thinks Shepard could, her definitive proof, that's what she said, definitive proof that Shepard's coming back. I'll be interested to hear about that.
Absolutely, yeah. Links will be in the show notes as well, so you can check out all of her stuff. Make sure you do, and if you enjoy it, make sure you subscribe too.
And a big thank you to Paragon 7 for joining us on the show. It's nice to have a new member of the Mass Effect community.
Absolutely, yeah, it was really good chatting with her. I don't think I've convinced her though about my vacuum cleaner theory, so but
I think you mean we haven't convinced you.
But no, big thank you to Paragon 7 for taking the time out to join us, appreciate it.
Okay, a few months ago we did receive a review and we're so sorry that it took so long for us to notice, but on Audible, we got this amazing review from Sarah Proud saying, "For diehard BioWare fans, as a lover of Mass Effect and Dragon Age, it is a delight to listen to people with the same love for the game, hear fan theories, interviews with voice actors, etc. Really pleased to have discovered this." And yeah, I'm so sorry to Sarah that it took us so long to find this review.
Thank you, Sarah. It's really kind words. I appreciate it. And anybody else that wants to leave 5-star reviews as well, we'll make sure we'll be a bit more on the ball and give you a shout out.
And Tim, where can our listeners find us if they'd like to follow our socials?
Well, you can follow the podcast on Twitter, which is @LazarusPodcast, capital L, capital P. You can find our guest, Atharia, is @Atharia_ on Twitter. And you can find my co-host, Craig. He is @CraigAndHisMac on Twitter. And you can find myself is @Ploppy54 on Twitter.
And if you are able to support us in any way, it would be much appreciated. You can find our Patreon by searching the Lazarus Project podcast, 801. And we are very excited about some of the content that is coming soon.
Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next time.
See you next time. Or hear you next time. Goodbye.
Commander.
I truly didn't. Oh, hang on. Hang on. I'm just seeing this Beth comment over here. So, hello, Beth. I watched Drop Rock News. Okay, hang on. I have to go check Twitter because this is wild.
Are we about to get an exclusive on the
We line? Are about to exclusively... Yeah. Where is it? Okay, I'm not getting a Bioware notification. So I guess for the podcast people, we are now frantically scrolling through Twitter looking for a Dreadwolf, potentially a Dreadwolf release date. Are you guys seeing anything?
No. Is it on their website?
I feel like usually it's not on the Bioware. Yeah, I guess you know what?
Beth might be trolling us.
I swear, yeah, Beth, if you did this, I would. I'm just seeing Celebrate Dragon Age with us. EA Day
2023. Yeah, I'm not seeing, there's nothing on the blog. I think we're being trolled.
Beth, how dare? How dare? Okay, if anybody has more information, I guess look that up. Otherwise, I will relaunch into my hilarious Spam Chef VR thing. But